This week on the Design Review, we answer a listener question about research and talk about diversifying your research strategy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Design Review. My name is Chris, and John is still AFK this week. He's doing fine. I've been talking with him. Everything's fine. He just needs a little more time, and then I'm pretty sure he'll be back for the next episode. Today, we have a message from a listener. A few episodes back, we answered another listener sort of question. So today, I have another one for you. And it's actually a voice message, which, by the way, the way in which Anchor does this is really kind of silly. So in order to check messages, I basically have to go in and start posting an episode. And actually, there was another episode that we had planned to release this week. But when I saw this message come in, finally, it was like, oh, we should probably answer this one. Answer this one first and then do this other episode. So I don't know why they make it so difficult. It's kind of silly the way they do it, but it is what it is. So anyways, as mentioned, yeah, we have a question from a listener named Jaslyn. They're asking about research. And thanks to the marvels of modern technology, I can actually play that clip for you right this very moment so that you don't have to read it later or listen to me paraphrase their question or whatever. So here it goes.
Hi, Chris and Joan. Thank you for your podcast. I really enjoy a lot and it's insightful. So I have a question here. I'm just wondering, for user research, conducting face-to-face interview as compared to co-creation, which is a better methodology or best practice? Because I have interview with a number of companies, and based on the response, they all felt that co-creation is a better method to gather data for product solution. What are your thoughts? So I'm actually quite confused because I learned that face-to-face interview and diving deep into the user needs, it's one method to gather research. So please share your thoughts. Thank you.
So thanks, Jaslyn, for leaving us a very nice message. That is a really, really great question. And so to start off with, we should actually start defining what these two different methods are. So, first of all, interviews. We've talked about interviews a lot on this program, but what are they actually? So, customer interviews, at least as far as design research goes or UX research goes, customer interviews are a research activity where you ask the person, and preferably, it is not an employee or anyone related to the company, right? Like, they should be a few degrees removed from, you know, any sort of connection to the business, right? And so it should be people outside of the company, right? But you ask them open-ended questions about their situation and their behavior, right? And I do really mean, like, open-ended question. Your research results will be completely invalid if you lead the participant to the answer, right? So things like, you like ice cream, right? That's a leading question, right? Versus, what type of dessert do you prefer, right? It lets them, one is very much asking them a direct sort of yes or no question that gets them, that asks them exactly the answer that you want. And the other one is just sort of saying, hey, tell us what dessert you like, right? And business people like these sort of leading questions because they want to get to the answer as fast as possible. But the thing is you have to let them tell you, right? Because if you say, what do you prefer as dessert? They might say something completely you know, not related to ice cream. And meanwhile, you're trying to ask them about ice cream or something, and because, you know, the CEO wants to make ice cream, but then you find out that they don't even want ice cream, right? So that's a really important distinction, right? Is letting the participant, you know, give you the answer, right? Open-ended questions, very important. And so you select the participants. As I mentioned, they should be people that are sort of some degrees removed from the business. And you select them based on the types of people that you believe are most aligned with the market segments that the business says that they want to target. So like if you're talking to, you know, product manager or, you know, sort of business owners, and they're saying, well, we want to sell, you know, XYZ thing to new moms and first time parents, right? Then you should actually recruit participants from various parts of society that start to fill that niche, right? And it's good actually to be very inclusive here. So, you know, like new moms, first time parents, you know, that encompasses quite a large swath of people, right? And so, you know, it could be same-sex couples, it could be, you know, various economic status things, social status things. There's all kinds of different ways to look at, you know, this problem of like new moms and first-time parents. And so that's what you want to do. In that scenario, you might also want to include some larger families just to add context, you know, to the first-time parent slash new parent scenario, right? It would be very... very smart, very wise of you to not only focus on just new parents, right? Because sometimes new parents, you know, they don't know what they need to know, right? And there are things that you could gain from talking with, you know, experienced families in order to maybe make the product better or make the experience richer, right? But this is the thing, is like you have to be sort of, your brain has to be turned on, right? Because the business person is probably sitting there thinking, well, we're selling to new parents, so let's sell to new parents, and I'm only going to talk to new parents. But if you take that track, you might be missing out some really important context. Now, like I said, I mentioned context, right? The point of this whole activity is to actually add the context that projects are often missing when you just simply act on these requirements. Like I mentioned, right? The business person is thinking like, well, we're going to sell to new parents. So they end up only sort of talking to that situation when there is actually maybe, like I mentioned, like a whole wealth of knowledge out there around parenting that could, you know, improve or enhance the product if you just kind of widen things up a little bit, right? Not, you know, I mentioned like talking to experienced families, you know, that's widening the net a little bit. It's not going into like a whole different segment of like, we're going to talk to new parents and pet owners, right? That's like a totally different sort of situation, right? It's similar, but it's kind of different. So that's interviews, right? Now, what about co-creation? This is something that we've referenced on this program before, but we really haven't gone in a lot of detail with this stuff. It's not something that I tend to do, to be honest, but I have done them in the past. And basically, these are sessions where you invite participants to help create the designs that hopefully address the problems that they're experiencing, right? And these sessions often involve some amount of brainstorming, and usually some sketching, right? You brainstorm some ideas, you ask them to kind of sketch out sort of stuff, you know, that they might think. It can even involve, you know, paper prototyping, right? Because some people aren't good at visualizing interfaces, right? And so, it can be helpful to have like a bunch of pre-made, like little paper things for people to, you know, place around where they think things should be or how they expect things to work. And these are, you know, they can be really interesting ways for you to kind of focus your effort on things that are more important for the customer, because they're actually, you know, participating in the design activities, right? Which is something that in most processes you don't really you don't really get that input, right? Now, why do one of these things versus the other, right? So the way that I like to think about this situation is that, at least from a very high level, interviews help us understand and qualify the problem space, whereas co-creation is more about just creating the solution itself, right? And the secret that nobody really knows about in this industry is that it's actually a good idea to do both. And I mentioned that I don't really do them, but I'll get into that a little bit. But it's actually a good idea to do both of these things. And like I mentioned, right, these are two very different types of research methods that produce very different types of results. So it is actually a little concerning to me to hear that there are design groups that only do co-creation, right? I don't know their situation, of course. I don't know what types of boundaries they have. But it's concerning because in order to create effective solutions, you actually need to understand the problem, right? So that you actually, you know, learn about the problem and you can build up that kind of internal intuitive sense of what is going to be effective versus ineffective, right? And the reason why interviews are so valuable, if you are doing them properly, is that they demonstrate in extreme detail the effect that the problem has on people and why they need a real solution from you. And they demonstrate that because you're talking to them. You see their expressions. You hear the pain that they might feel, or the stress that they get from having to be continually confronted with a situation that they don't enjoy being in. Now, on the flip side, co-creation sessions are great because you learn directly from the customer as you create the designs. And it's like having brainstorming sessions that are amped up to 1,000 because you get to talk to them, you get to ask them questions as they're coming up with ideas, right? And it's actually a really useful way to kind of go about sort of addressing the solution. So why might a design group only focus on co-creation? I mean, this is basically Jaslyn's question, right? It's like, why are they only doing this? Now, again, disclaimer, I don't really know the situation. I don't know that particular team's, you know, problem that they're trying to solve. But it's concerning because co-creation focuses only on the solution, right? And it's almost like they're saying, we only care about producing solutions, not understanding the problem. And this is not to say that you can't get some of the other stuff during a co-creation session, right? You can certainly ask people questions, right? But the point of a co-creation session isn't necessarily to build the context that I'm talking about. Now, As I mentioned, I've run participatory design sessions before, and they were always 1,000 times more valuable when you conduct them after you've done X rounds of interviews. Because now you know what to talk to people about and how to lead the co-creation sessions in a more targeted way, right? You know the problem space, right? And this is why interviews are so important. And like I said, it's not that you can't get some of it out during a participatory design session like that, but it's just, it's not the point. Like you're there. The reason you're running the co-creation session is to focus on what outcome should the people get, right? And the metaphor, the analogy is sort of like the idea of just running A/B tests all the time, right? You can certainly learn things by doing A/B testing and only A/B testing to study an interface, but you won't necessarily know whether your iterations are pointed in the right direction, whether you're really addressing the problem. You're sort of just like, you know, slowly like making changes in iterations and slowly working your way towards some, you know, some, you know, expected outcome, but it doesn't necessarily help you understand, right? Not in the way that I'm talking about. Now, co-creation is certainly better, I think, than just doing A-B testing, you know, by itself, right? And being on that sort of A-B testing treadmill, because you're directly involving the customers more, right? A-B testing is actually sometimes worse because all you're getting are metrics and you can't ask questions. You don't know really what's happening. You know, if something doesn't work out, you can't talk to anyone about it. You just know that something didn't work and some, you know, and it's very sort of not helpful. It's not helpful to know that things didn't work because you need to know why they didn't work, right? But, you know, doing only co-creation is really just, it's still just kind of one half of this whole design equation. So what is the benefit of only doing co-creation, right? So if for some reason you can only do one research activity, I would still say interviews are more valuable than co-creation sessions because they can benefit more parts of the organization, right? You can take that knowledge and insight you've gained from a round of interviews and share it with people and help them also understand the same thing, right? With a co-creation session, all you're doing is focusing on what should we produce, right? That's helpful to a certain amount, but it's not gonna educate anybody, right? But co-creation sessions, I would say, are sort of a close second in a way. And the reason is that product management usually conducts interviews, not as often as I prefer and usually not to the degree that I would like. In my opinion, a lot of PMs, they don't go to the extent that they probably should. And I've seen a lot of requirements where there's just a lot of open holes and open issues that they haven't addressed. And so as a designer, you know, if you're pushing to do, you know, a separate track of interviews in addition to the things that the PMs have already done, you know, sometimes that's actually not very well appreciated because they feel like, well, I've done my job. You know, why don't you just trust what I've said? And it's like, well, because I'm reading this and I just don't understand what you're asking me to do. And it's not because I'm dumb, but it's because I know that there's deeper things in here that you didn't ask. If you're to do these extra interviews, you know, it can step on people's toes. So then what happens is your job as a designer then just becomes very solution oriented, right? You sort of end up focusing only on creating solutions and trying to think of solutions rather than really studying the problem. And, co-creation sessions can sort of help bring, you know, some of that other stuff back into the process, but it's still, you know, more solution oriented than I think, you know, design teams ought to be. So what's the solution to Jaslyn's situation? How do we resolve this situation? Well, you know, like, isn't it good to do like any type of research, right? Especially when nothing was probably done before in many cases. Well, yes and no. Right? It depends. Sometimes this type of thinking can be very problematic, right? That any research is good. And that's not necessarily true. The simple solution to this problem is that you need to diversify, right? Using diverse research methods is like having a bigger toolkit, right? You will get a ton more out of it when you diversify how you go about understanding the problem and then developing solutions based on those learnings. To be quite honest, modern design orgs are so addicted to basing decisions on a lot of flawed assumptions that they just focus their effort on the solution and forget that 50% of your job is really learning about and understanding the problem first, right? That is such a key element to being a designer. And it surprises me all the time when I talk to companies and they just, Like, I remember having a conversation with a director, and like, they just straight up told me they don't do any research, you know? And I'm like, how do you even, like, how do you do anything? You just brainstorm and come up with, you know, you're so high on your own supply, basically, that you just come up with ideas and hope that they work, you know? And that's the extent of their process, right? And so, yeah, usually what happens is like, somebody starts doing something, right? Because there's a particular type of problem that they're trying to address, right? With the company's procedures, right? So in this case that Jaslyn has mentioned, it's likely that somebody just said, well, you know, we're lacking this type of, you know, knowledge. So I'm going to start running co-creation sessions to try and address it. And, you know, it starts to show some improvements, you know, so they start doing it more and more and more. And then before long, this becomes hard baked and it becomes the process and it becomes the way, you know, that the company does stuff. And really the spark, the original idea that triggered this idea to do co-creation sessions, you know, it ends up getting completely beaten out of the process. Diversified research activities really helps combat that kind of institutional laziness, right? This tendency of companies to fixate on doing one thing and one thing only, right? If you look at art, it's a very simple analogy. Look at art. You'll be hard pressed to find any interesting paintings that are painted with only one color. Even Mark Rothko, if you're familiar with the abstract expressionist Mark Rothko, even Mark Rothko's paintings, his abstract color work, it's not just one color on the canvas. You might look at it and go, oh, he's painted a big red square. But if you actually study closely what is on the canvas, right? It's actually made of many different hues and shades of red, maybe not even red at all. It could be brown and green, whatever, right? And so, it shouldn't be surprising to people that design works in a very similar way. When you introduce different things into your creative process, open up your process to new things, new ideas, and new approaches, you actually create the opportunity for new and exciting things to happen, which is awesome. This is exactly the way you should be working. Right? It gives you the opportunity to learn things and understand the world, you know, and study things from very different types of perspectives. That's the whole point. It's the whole point of your existence as a designer. So diversifying your methods is really, really the key to this whole question. So yeah, wrapping it up here, Jaslyn, something you can do if this comes up again is to talk about how using more diverse research methods will actually help the company improve its products, right? Because it's a given, you know. I mean, assuming that you don't, you know, screw it up or whatever, it's a given that, you know, adding new and different ways to research and study problems and stuff is just going to make things better. You know, or if you just really love running co-creation sessions, then, you know, that company sounds like, you know, a perfect fit for you. But seriously, using diverse research methods is really incredibly helpful, and it's far more helpful than people realize. Like, far more helpful. Because far too often, really, it seems that design groups and product teams, they just fixate on solutioneering, right? They just fixate on, like, my job is to come up with a solution for this. And yes, but half of that job, half of that thing of coming up with a solution is starting with understanding the problem, right? And it's your job as a designer to understand the problem, right? It's not, don't just leave it to product managers, because like I've mentioned this before, product managers make mistakes. They sometimes omit things. Many things can happen, and it's part of your responsibility as a designer to understand and help inform the organization about the problem. Otherwise, yeah, like I said, you know, then your job really just gets relegated to solutioneering and thinking of, you know, solutions. And really, designers are really not just mock-up makers. You have to be sort of involved more in the process. Using diverse methods is not just better for you, right? It's also how you can be more ethical in your practice, because you'll be forced to learn and discover more things that you didn't know before, and basically just get beyond all the internal bias and all the bad assumptions that people are going to make about things, and not question anything. So that's it. That's all I got. Hopefully, this helped answer your question. If you have a question and want us to answer it, you can certainly ask by visiting designreviewpodcast.com. There's a form on there for you to submit something. You can also do what Jaslyn did and go to anchor.fm/designreview and leave us an audio message. But don't be upset if I don't, you know, get to it sort of like right away, because the weird way in which you check messages on Anchor. If you like the show, would like to support us, you can certainly do so by becoming a regular donator. Just go to anchor.fm/designreview, hit support, select a dollar amount, and that's that. We are on the Bird app. The show is dr_podcast. John is Design UX UI, and I am Machine Human. So, you know, if you have other questions, you can also use Twitter to ask us those questions as well. Please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, wherever you're listening to it right now. It really helps us get the show out to more people. Lastly, of course, mentorship. If you have more specific questions to ask regarding this topic or any topic, you can certainly go find a mentor on officehoursproject.com. Talk to somebody about whatever it is that is burning on your mind. Once again, thank you for taking the time to listen today. It's a little bit of a shorter episode, but I just wanted to answer this question real quick, and we'll be back again with another episode. So that's it. Thank you. Bye.